listening to Can I Get a Witness by Ignite Ministry Global. Please note that the views expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and guests, and do not represent the views of WAPN and WAPB. The content provided is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Listeners are encouraged to seek appropriate guidance for any specific concerns. WAPN and WAPB and its hosts are not liable for any actions taken based on the information provided on this show. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Christina. This is my husband, Jesse Amos. We are with Ignite Ministry Global, and we are so happy to be back for another week. You guys are listening to Can I Get a Witness, where we dive into some of the hottest topics of Christianity that keep you on the edge of your seat. So this week, we're super excited. We do have a guest in the house, but before we introduce him to you guys, we want to make sure that you guys know to like, subscribe, comment, share, join in the conversation. You can find us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, Ignite Ministry Global's page, and of course here on WAPN. And man, this whole podcast, Jess, has been a very interesting journey for us. I think every week the enemy has tried to throw some type of wrench into the midst, but
I would agree.
But we're still moving. We're still trucking.
It's a constant struggle. I definitely feel like I do a lot more of the technical stuff than I should have to, and think about while you're trying to be live on the air. And when I go live, it's like all lights out. You forget everything you're supposed to do. So it can be a continuing battle to get on the air every week. And this week we added some complexity by bringing in an amazing person to interview and somebody who I believe is following the will of the Lord for his life.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about that conversation for sure. But on the checklist, do we have mics?
I think so.
We have video.
I think so.
We're live.
I think so.
We're on the radio.
We're on the radio.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Come on. We did it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Woo, man.
I'll have to actually look at the
You better
the
check
stream.
It. We if better check it so we're not a liar.
The stream, if you're out there on the stream, you know, like, share, comment. We appreciate it.
Yeah, join in that conversation, guys, because we're not just here to talk about all of these things, but we're also here to have a conversation with you guys. Like, we want to, shed some light on some topics. You know, if this is the first time you've ever joined us, some of the topics that we've talked about is, you know, do good people go to hell? What is the church? Why do churches split? You know, those are some of the topics that we've been talking about lately, talking about callings and purposes within the church and really what God is doing today, because God is doing something incredible right now in our city and really all over the United States. But he, like, man, in establishments and businesses all throughout the cities, on the street corners, like everywhere, just everywhere, God is pouring out his spirit, and it's been incredible to see it and witness it.
I'm excited. I one of the things we do on this show is we pray for things that are happening in and around our city. And there have been a couple things. What do you have on your heart tonight, honey, that we should pray for? We should lift up.
Well, I always want to pray for leadership within the churches. I think that we think that because they're leaders within the church or they're pastors or whatever their position may be, that they're like kind of up on this pedestal and like they don't need it as much as everybody else. But honestly, they need it even more so. And so definitely for me, prayer for leadership within the churches.
Okay. Now, I know we weren't supposed to bring Mick in on this, but I just feel like
rule breaker.
It would be best if we just ask Mick, what is on your heart to pray for, and let's pray for it right here.
Man, there is just some strongholds on our city that I feel like as a body we need to come together in agreement and just take dominion over it. And I'm seeing it happening in the community. I'm already seeing it happening in the streets. But I think this needs to be multiplied on a greater level, on a greater scale, where more of the body is coming together to break the strongholds that's over our city, that's over the people in our city, over the people that are coming to our city, whether they're on vacation, whether they just feel led to be here, or they're just wandering through. I really feel like there's just this really heavy stronghold over not just specifically, you know, I mean, not just the body of Christ, but the people as a whole, you know, I mean, yeah. God's creation. Mm-hmm. And so I really feel like it's important that we step into that.
Yeah. Amen. How about you, Jess? Anything particular for you?
It's always unity. It's always unity for me.
Come on.
The unity of the body of Christ is hard. I work with leaders. I work with, you know, the alpha males of the community. And I know the struggle to allow others freedom to have expression of their gifting, callings, and vision. You know, sharing vision opportunity with others is one of the hardest things. And that's what I feel like Ignite Ministry Global came to do is to allow for other people's vision and make room for the outcast. And there's going to be a revival coming, and the church isn't going to accept some of it. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Come on.
Because we're going to talk about what the church is missing. So
part one.
I am... I don't even care about the cameras anymore. Let's just pray. Let's ask God in this place because I have no idea what I'm doing anymore.
Okay, I'll start. Mick, then you, okay?
Amen.
All right, Lord God, I just thank you so much.
Oh, we're only live on
Twitter. We're everywhere, so, It's all right. This is as real as it gets,
YouTube,
though.
You
know,
Facebook.
And Jess and I wanted everybody to know, like, that's out there that does listen to this. Like, you know, we may make a plan, but this is real. This is just who we are. This is us having a conversation. This is our heart and our passion, love for Jesus. And so, God, we just thank you so much for who you are, God. We thank you for the very breath in our lungs, God. We thank you, God, for those that you've called, God, for your work, Lord. Yes. Those whose boots are on the ground, God. We just pray for those leaders, for those pastors, God, for those evangelists, Lord, for the apostles, God. We pray for the prophets, God. We pray that you rise up new leaders right now as we speak, God. And we just pray you pour your spirit over top of them, that there'll be such a fresh anointing, God, that you protect them from the evils of this world, God, that they would stand fast and firm to the calling that you have given them. And I thank you, God, that you've placed it in their heart, that you're doing the work. And I just pray for obedience over each and every one of them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We give you glory in this place. And God, we pray, as we would fight and contend for the unity of the faith, that God, you would get the glory, that you would bring dominion back to the earth for your kingdom, Lord God. And we just give you honor and glory. And if you want to pray, Mick, bro.
Come on. Well, Father God, we just thank you for this mighty couple that I'm sitting here with. Father God, thank you for equipping them with the tools and the giftings in order to be here, to represent the community, to represent a passion for unity. Father God, just continue to bless them. Continue to bless the listeners here on the radio right now. Father God, we just ask that you just pour out your spirit in a special way right now, that everybody can receive something new, that they can receive a fresh impartation of your word. Yes. Father God, we just ask that you stir hearts to receive right now. Father God, I just pray for fresh revelation, Father God. We thank you for your work. We thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you for your word that always remains true. Father God, we just thank you for all that you do, even the little things in our lives. Mm-hmm. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Woohoo! I know, I love that.
So good.
So good.
Just getting to the presence. You know, I think most churches forget, you know, we get stuck in the routine and the schedule, that we forget sometimes you just got to bask in the presence.
I know. Amen.
Because God does all the work.
Yeah.
God does all the work.
So Jesse's already mentioned today's topic is what is the church missing? This is part one because I think we could go more involved in this topic. And we are here with our friend Mick. So Mick, who are you? First off, who are you? Because, you know, these people might want to know. Who's this crazy guy on here?
Hold on. Oh, maybe I hit the wrong button. Sorry.
That, you know, that happens too.
Oh, gosh. Love it.
Okay. So back to Mick. Who are you?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on. But yes, my name is Mick Smith. I'm a father of four amazing boys. I'm a husband to the most hottest blonde lady in all of America, in the world. She is amazing. She is my rock. She's my supporter. She's liking everything on these videos right now. She is giving you guys stars and hearts. So anyways,
it's all over. So WAPN, Ministry Global, YouTube. You find them all.
We're going viral right now.
All right.
And on Wednesday, it'll be posted on all the podcasts.
Exactly.
Come on.
And so, but I'm also a landscaper in the community. I mean, a lot of times we identify by what we do in the work field. But one of the things that God's put on my heart is to reach the lost.
Amen.
And I can do that with the tools that God has given me. I can do that with the resources that he's put on me. But most importantly, with the gifts that he's put inside of me. And when you activate those gifts, it's the reason I'm here right now. You guys have seen some of the things that's been happening and shaking our city.
Amen.
And that's what's brought me here today. And amen. So
that's so awesome. I love it that you're a landscaper though, because you know when you're doing landscaping, you have to plant things.
Yeah.
You know, you have to till the ground and water it and plant it. And you're so faithful to go out and do just that.
Come on.
But you're doing it on a spiritual level, which is really cool. And so I wanted to ask, what is your biggest drive to doing what you're doing?
So, the one thing I left out, obviously the landscape is what you guys were asking. Mm-hmm. But I always like to just say I'm a landscaper. Mm-hmm. But, I have a heart to reach the lost in our community. I have a heart to go out and see the next generation get saved, to see hairdressers get saved, to see people giving your food in the drive-through get saved. One-on-one evangelism has been the most fruitful thing that I've been a part of in the Volusia County area. And it's been absolutely incredible to see lives change. So my passion, as far as to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
is God's put that in me. Like he's put that inside of me. And part of my testimony of coming to the Lord and being saved from so much is to share that testimony with those that are going to share that same testimony as me, to where those that were drinking in the clubs and the bars and getting set free, like I'm going to see those people sharing the gospel. Because when God does something in me, he's going to do it again to somebody else.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Multiplication.
Come on.
He's going to multiply. That's all he does. I know. He's so good that way. So when do you feel like was the first time God really placed that on you? Like you felt God's calling. This is your calling. This is your purpose. This is what he wants for you to do. Like, when did that happen? Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Because I can definitely say, like, I can tell you my aha moment of like when I was desperate and hungry enough for the Lord and went and said, enough of me, I'm going all in. But it was another time where God really impressed on my heart what his purpose for me was. And, when was that he placed that in you? And tell us about it.
So I probably would say three pivotal moments in my life. The first one was when I was dating my wife.
Mm-hmm.
God put on my heart that I was going to support and train missionaries.
That's awesome.
I had no idea what that looked like. The word evangelist wasn't really in my vocabulary.
Right.
Missionary was the closest thing to evangelist in my vocabulary
mm-hmm.
at that season of my life, 12, 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the aha moment was when God gave me a specific word to do something specifically. And that was during truck week 2 years ago, I believe it was in April. And there was trucks everywhere. It was crazy. The streets were crowded. You couldn't get through traffic. And God's like, I want you to take your work truck. I want you to go out to the streets. I want you to share the gospel and the people will come. And I was just like, God, I'm like, those guys are crazy. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know what you're talking. Like those guys, like they tell everybody they're going to go to places that, you know what I mean? Like it was bad. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. And God's like, no, I want you to do this. And so I was in a Bible study at the time. It was like a worship prayer in my buddy's living room. And I told these guys and they're like, you should go do this. We're going to pray over you. And I was just like, all right. So I drove home. I cleaned out my truck. I told my beautiful wife that I was going to Seabreeze Boulevard. She kind of didn't know what to think. She was kind of in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, this is what God told me to do. And we went out there the first night. I got through traffic in like 5 minutes, which was a miracle in itself. Yeah. And then I got a parking spot right away, which was another miracle.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 And then I jumped in the back of the truck with a karaoke machine. And I just started telling people, can I be bold? Can I pray with you? And people just kept coming and they kept getting prayer and people wouldn't leave and people got saved. Like, that was like my, like, aha, like, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then
so good, bro.
My third one was when my dad passed. I was doing this, but I was doing it like occasionally. Mm. In September of 21, my dad passed. And like, there's something about like when you feel like great loss, when you lose someone that's real personal to you, there's just like this drawing to God. You draw closer to God in those moments. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, a lot of times it's when you come back to the Lord, mm-hmm. but when you deal with loss, you come even closer. And when you come closer to God, you can hear him so much more clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I drew closer to him, I was like, God, I was like, when I'm with you, I'm good. Like, yeah. Even though self's hard, I'm good. And it just, in that season, it multiplied. And I was more frequent with what we did in the streets.
Amen.
And you guys have been a part of that as well in the community. Yeah. And so
you don't know this. Hold on. I got to tell you this real quick. You are an answer to a prayer.
Come on.
To what God was speaking to us when we started Ignite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, we were like, okay, we're going to go out on the street. We're going to start ministering. And then we felt like there was a moment where God just like took us out of that. And we were like, well, we thought we were going to just continue doing this. And then you rose up.
Come on.
And when you rose up, it was like, okay, God, you are sending the evangelists out. Mm-hmm. You are doing what you said you were going to do. We can go back to what we were supposed to be doing. What you're like, cause I feel like God always brings a progression. So, you know, in a season I was doing this and now the next season I did this and this. So in this next season, we felt really kind of in a weird spot. We started helping with National Day of Prayer and God started stirring the unity of leaders. But when that's catalyzed with evangelism,
come on,
bro, there's going to be a change that we have no idea. It's going to shift the face of the earth because the church is going to change and humble themselves and really, truly, I believe, repent. And so continue, man. You are an answer to that prayer. God, send out the evangelists. And our hope is to mend you with the church. Like, the church needs to connect with the evangelists again.
Come on.
And, I think we've helped you encourage you in that. Yeah. Even when there were some moments, I know there were some frustrating moments in your ministry in recent years we watched you go through, but you walked through them with integrity. Came out on the other side. I mean, yeah, there's discouragements in life, but I have those same feelings. So like, if we do not lose heart, this is Pastor Bobby's favorite verse, right? if we do not faint in doing good, we will reap in due season. And
come
so,
on.
I'm believing there's a harvest coming, bro. And so continue your story.
I think it's really amazing. Jess has actually told me a couple of times before, like, because, you know, when we first met, he was convincing me to go out on the streets. You got to go out on the streets. You got to go out on the streets. And I was like, are you crazy? I ain't going.
Come on.
That was it. I was helping my dad with skateboard ministry, like, which is also fun and cool. And we 78 kids got baptized there at the skate park.
Hallelujah.
You know, gave their life to the Lord, which was amazing. And I'm always gravitate a little more towards kids and youth anyways. But he's like, you got to go. And I always tell the story because I believe everyone should go, which is going to lead to my next question. But like my first experience going out on the street was at the J Store. You know where the J Store is, downtown Daytona, right? This crazy fool over here finally convinced me to go. And so we go, and there's a whole group of us, and I'm like, Lord, you better put some neon signs with some arrows. Like, you better point them out who you want me to talk to. And because I'm scared to death. I really was. I mean, and I was just walking by the sidewalk, just praying and praying and praying, like, God, send me the one, send me the one. And I look over, and there's a guy sitting on the front of the J Store, like right by the little curb. And I just felt him pulling me, like, go, go, go. So I went over and sat down next to him, didn't say a word, had my Bible in my lap. And he looks over at me, looks down at my Bible, looks back up at me, and just starts weeping.
Come on.
Without a word, because we don't even really need to say a word.
Praise
the
God.
Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do the work. And so I don't know what happened. I got to pray for him, and I got to encourage him, and walk through him some scriptures. But, you know, I don't know what happened after that day with him, but I do know what happened with me after that. And so that was when I really was like, okay, this is everyone needs to be doing this.
Yeah.
And really that's my same way that I go now. I mean, even we went, what, this last weekend? Was it last weekend that we went out? Two weekends ago.
Yeah, we almost got rained out, and the Lord opened...
Opened it up, dried up all the rain, and then the evangelist...
Hold on. we got a... Can I get... Hallelujah. And, you know, one of those things that you were talking about, it mentions where we began that night. You know, we've been praying for the porch and what's happening with our friends, Joby, Colby. Did I just combine their names?
I think you did.
Joby. Now, Jen and Colby.
That's their ship name.
Yeah, that's their short name now. you know, they have a heart to provide a place to allow ministries like yours to, you know, cultivate a outreach mentality.
Yeah.
And that is so different because they're not a church. They're a physical building of a actual business.
Kingdom business.
It's a legit business.
Yeah.
That serves amazing kombucha and acai bowls, tea,
hey, they didn't pay us
toast,
for that one, okay?
All right.
I promise.
Little plug for the porch, 212 Beach Street.
Yeah. So I feel like that night when it rained and we were sitting there and the Lord was pouring out. I mean, the Spirit was moving. And I saw Mick's face and his countenance fall because he's looking at the report of the weather. And I will not lie. It did not look good. And we worship for another like 45 minutes. And we get a text from Mick after he leaves. We're all set up. It's all good.
No rain.
Let's go.
Yeah. And it was an awesome night. It was an awesome night out there on the streets, I think. You actually physically drove someone home that night. That was really...
You didn't have to, right?
No, yeah, this guy was very intoxicated, and I jumped in his car. I jumped in his car and I drove him to the.
Oh, you did drive?
Yeah, I did. I jumped, and the guy was just like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm making sure you don't die." You know what I mean? We have to step in the gap. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. You know, the church needs to give a physical and a spiritual need filling. You know, I'm thinking about this today. We own a business that. Just construction. And I went out to see this lady who I've done work for. And the only reason I don't even do anything for our construction company other than like oversee, do a lot of financial stuff and make sure all the,
licensing.
All that stuff gets done. And I kind of answer questions when needed this is not something I normally do, go to somebody's place and check it out. And she needs huge back area redone. And I'm like, I just don't have, first off, I don't have the finances. So if this moves somebody's heart tonight, find me because she needs permitting and everything. And it's going to be a battle for her. And I said, look, I don't want to touch this. Not the liability outweighs the profitability. And I can't help you. And I'm thinking, how could the church have stood in this moment? And I just don't know anybody in that moment that could help her, but she's probably not saved. And she's going to be 90 years old.
Wow.
And what an opportunity the church could have, but it would be financially crippling to one person or, unless they had you know, unlimited funds. You know, it's a $20,000 endeavor, probably, I told him. And that's what we need to do as the church. We got to bring the spiritual, but we also have to bring a physical, you know, blessing. It says, you know, if you say you're a believer and you say you're good and you leave your brother who needs food, you know, what good are you really, you know? And that's what the church is missing. We need an outreach oriented, giving mentality, not a building a kingdom, bigger building. Now the building's not bad. So we're not here to criticize the 501(c)(3) church to the point of there is no hope in that, because I think there is a need for that too. We need that outreach. So,
the refuge is the church.
Amen. Yeah, and I kind of stole that to say that, but I think I think the church has done in some cases, like giving food to the homeless and stuff. Yeah. Like they've done a good job in that, but there are like things outside of that. Like, you know, we have friends that do disaster relief. And when I looked at this house, I mean, it looks like a disaster hit it.
That's
but
what they need.
They need somebody to come in there and overhaul it. Like in that ministry, but that's not normally a ministry that they would take on, because it wasn't like a hurricane hit it and flooded it. It just is old and falling apart.
Well, you remember like Little House on the Prairie days? Yeah. Okay, we're talking like way back, you know? If something happened to someone's home, they had a fire or something like that, the whole town would come around and they would rebuild it. They would rebuild it for them. That's the way that our communities used to work. And now we're, you know, our world is so lost and so just out for itself.
It's greed.
It's greed. And we see all of that lost. And unfortunately, the organizational church, they have an opportunity there and sometimes they miss it. And so,
and sometimes they don't find a budget, you know, sadly, that will encompass that.
Yeah.
Their budget is already took up. You know, a lot of times we do a lot of big outreach, and it takes a lot of money to do outreach.
Yeah,
you know, you've gotten to be a part of, and I know you're a part of a bigger organization with Daniel Kalinda's ministry and Christ for All Nations with Joe, you know, Turnbull. And you guys do a huge output there for what costs $500,000 in equipment, right? Yeah. You know, it takes the money, but is it worth it to stop thinking about what we can do inside?
Yeah.
But how can we focus outside and reach that new person? And I wish we put more budget, because a lot of churches, they're planning 6 months ahead.
Well, I think it's appointment. And we go back to, I mean, you guys were praying and talking about fivefolds. Is everybody has a position.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And so like teachers and shepherds, they're raising up the flock. And us, we have that evangelist mindset, that go, that multiply, that grow.
Amen.
And what's beautiful is what the first thing you prayed about was unity. When those two people come together in unity, then something beautiful happens. God just smiles on it.
Hallelujah.
And both happens at the same time.
Yeah.
From the budget of heaven, not the budget of one body.
Right.
And what I mean by one body is one church body.
Yeah.
And so
we call it the organizational church.
There you go.
Because there's only one church.
Yeah, there's only one body. Right? Yeah. But the organizational church. And so it's really just those people coming into alignment with each other. And it's gonna be gorgeous, it's gonna be beautiful. People are just gonna flood the churches, they're gonna get saved, and then those people are gonna be discipling. And we'll all be doing it together. And so a unified body is going to reap a harvest, that scripture you referenced before. And it's going, and now is that time.
Yeah.
And so I really see the body coming together, but it takes some and some growing. And because growing pains are sore, and so sometimes we just got to get a little sore, but it's going to happen. It's happening, and it's beautiful.
Amen. And it takes people who want to do it too. Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing about growing pains, though, is when they are sore, the best thing you can do is to work them out.
Come on.
Because if you sit there and you do nothing, you hurt actually more.
Yeah.
If you actually get up and start moving and stretching and moving your body, it gets worked out much faster.
Yeah.
And so in your opinion, How important is it that the office of the evangelist starts operating within the organizational church?
It's pivotal. Absolutely pivotal.
Amen.
And so I think every prayer team in a church should become the evangelist of the church.
Hallelujah.
And I think once those things come into alignment, like, that's when things shift. Because when they do the altar call, who comes up first? The prayer team. The prayer team comes to go lay hands and usher them into the body to pray with them. And typically the people that are coming for prayer, yes, they're parts of the body, but most of the time it's the lost coming into the church. Mm-hmm. It's the new people coming to the church, coming to get prayed for. And I think when the prayer teams start activating the work of the evangelists, that's going to be beautiful. And that's why it's so important that the body is doing the work. Now, not everybody is going to quit their job and become a missionary. Mm-hmm. But every person has influence in their community that goes beyond Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's going to become beautiful, when the parking lot person sees the new person that they share the gospel with at Subway pull into the parking lot. They're going to usher him right into the church. And there's just so many, the possibilities are endless. And so it's so important. But one of the things that's really on my heart is that there's these fables that go around the church, and the fables are like, oh, that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
This fable, oh, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Man, I'll tell you, when I'm reaching people and I'm walking out, ministry spirits are working in the hearts of people. Mm-hmm. And when you open your mouth and you say, hey, can I pray with you about this? Or can I help you in any way? Like, the door opens wide. And so, yet, it's an important role in the church, but it's an important role for the church to take part of.
Hold on, this is a good time, because you say something out on the streets, and dude, they made a t-shirt about it. This is so powerful, because I've done a lot of street ministry, and when I came out with you the first time, I just saw the Lord moving, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
Don't want to touch it. It's working. I'm going to go and I'm going to mess up his head or something, because I'm going to do something I used to do, and he's going to copy it, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, just God, move. And what did you say? You said it that night, the first night I went out, but you said you reached out from on the top of a dump truck in the middle of the like busy clubs area.
Let's go,
street.
Landscapers. Come on.
And got in the dump truck and went out, and you almost jumped off the dump truck to ask you,
can I be bold?
Can I be bold?
Can I be bold? Can I pray with you? And they'll say yes every time. Like, you maybe get like 2 out of 100 people that won't, but 98% of the time, people have reverence to God and they'll receive.
Yeah.
Come on. Dude. That's also on the shirt. Come on. Thank you, Brian, for this t-shirt.
I know. I love
Come
how,
on, Brian.
Yeah. I love how it says, bro, you know, on the yep. side. It's yep. so good. I was like, where did these t-shirts come
yeah,
from? These are great.
And these are just guys just doing it, man. They're not out there for money. They're not out there because it gives them some kind of accolade and some kind of, I don't know, credential or some kind of boost of their ego. These are guys that are like, man, I've tasted and seen that God is good. Let me share. And when I share it, God moves and it's powerful.
Yeah.
We need more of it. And when you said, can I be bold?
Come on.
Bro, I have watched it. And you know what's funny is I've done a lot of street ministry. And I always am trying to come up with good ways to stop somebody in their tracks. That is definitely, by far, the most effective thing I've ever heard somebody say. One of the ones I like to say is, can I tell you about him?
Or do you know him?
No. Can I tell you about him? Because if you say, do you know him, they'll question you.
Yeah.
But can I tell you about him?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But I'm telling you what, the bold thing is better.
Let's
go. It is better, bro. It is hands down better. Or is it what I used to say? You corrected me. Is that more what I used to say?
Do you know him?
And I think I changed it to can I? I did start there. Yeah. It may have worked, but it works better if you ask the question.
Can I be bold?
And you open that door because now they've given you permission.
You got a yes.
Once you get a yes, you know what they say. You got to have like three yeses before they'll make a commitment or something.
Come on.
Or seven touches before somebody will you know, commit to a thing.
I don't touch, so I just yeah.
that's like a marketing. That's marketing. So like you have to have seen it seven times or heard about it or had a conversation with somebody before they'll commit to being some kind of helper in your endeavor, right? Yeah. So they say seven touches. And I think that's crazy and powerful. And if we would be more bold.
Yeah. Come on.
We would see revival like no other. Somebody said if everyone won 12 people to Jesus, let's the whole go. World would be one.
Come on.
If everyone won 12, the whole world would be one.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
I'm down. I'll get that 12 and I'll help some others get some more. So let's go.
Jesse, I know you've got a video too, right? That you want to put up. Yeah, but before you get to that, I have another question.
Okay, go for it.
One more question.
And then I want to hear your take on it as well as it's playing.
Okay. So we're talking about how important it is as the evangelist to work in their purpose and calling within the church. Are you seeing it? And if you are not, how do we change it?
We see it in a lot of applications. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, or Jesse was saying, we see it in different types of outreaches, like backpack giveaways, food drives. We see those aspects of it. But the altar call in the community is not the front runner. You mean the feeding the bellies and clothing. You mean that's
the physical help.
That's the physical help, but the boldness in the altar call in the community isn't there. And that's what's missing. The altar call happens from the pastor, and I think that's where a lot of people are like, all right, I'll bring them to the shepherd.
Yeah.
And they'll lead them to us. I'll just get them in there. And because that's been the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
The coaching and in the church today is like, just get them in here. And that's good. You mean, let's get them in there.
Amen.
But let's not have this mindset that they only get saved if they go to church.
Right.
They can get saved at 2 a.m. drunk. What I mean? Like they can get saved.
Hallelujah.
They can get saved while cutting your hair. They can get saved in the drive-thru. They can get saved wherever they repent.
So you're an evangelist. That means you are here to equip the saints for the work of ministry in evangelism.
Come on.
And a lot of people say, well, I'm not an evangelist. Everyone is called to evangelism. So your job is a leader to equip them. Yeah. So in your equipping, what is the most powerful statement you can ask somebody to give their life to the Lord? Because I know you've led a bunch of people to the Lord out there while we're doing street ministry. What is it that you find is like the tool? Like, okay, I've preached the gospel. I've explained what God is and who God is and what you need to do as to have faith in the finished work of the cross. How do you lead them?
It's very simple. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Tuesday nights, we do a discipleship training and we do evangelism training. And the first 45 minutes to hour of every Tuesday that we meet at the porch.
Come on.
Is we share testimonies. We get in the habit of testifying of what God is doing in your life. When the body begins to testify of what God is doing in their life, that's when salvations happen. That's when the Spirit moves, is when we create the habit of sharing testimonies. Mm. We do it when our football team wins. We do it when we watch your favorite TV show.
Yeah.
We do it when the coolest Marvel movie comes out. We do it all the time with regular things. We testify of all the things that are happening. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we forget to testify of what God is doing in our life.
Yeah.
And so when we seek the kingdom first in all things, that's when it happens. So when we create the discipline, and it shouldn't be a discipline, but when we do this, when the body starts just testifying everywhere they go and it just becomes habitual, mm-hmm. that's when things start exploding, the firecrackers start going off. Because when you testify, God does it again, and he does it again, and he does it again. So yes, I start with, can I be bold? Can I pray with you? But many times it ends with me testifying of what God's done in my life.
Amen.
Yeah,
and it absolutely. Happens, and God will do it in your life too.
Amen.
And so that's my answer.
So we're at that point. You've testified.
Let's go.
How do you get them to accept it?
They accept. They. You don't have to do anything. The Holy Spirit does it.
How do you know? How do you know they accepted it?
Because the words coming out of their mouth say, you know what? I've been doing this wrong. I've been doing this. People will literally start repenting to you.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And the church, you guys.
We're on it with an audience, a broad exploration. There are people from all over the globe, and we don't know what they might know. Yeah. So we're just going to broaden you until you tell us, because we want you to have the opportunity to explain your, you know, equipping.
Yeah, I love
it. When you share your history with God, people repent and they share their history without God.
Yeah.
And then they start creating new history with God.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's that simple. History with God. They explain their history without God.
Yeah.
And then they become a new creature.
Amen.
Right. And then from there, I mean, that's why we were talking about, like, with the fight, and we don't have a whole lot of time left. We were down to 3 minutes, but like, this is where, like,
good episode,
this,
guys.
Yes, this I know I could episode. Do this for another hour, but like, that's where, like, the fivefold is so important, because if the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the apostles were all working together in their calling within the organizational church, then the evangelist is going out, they're sharing their testimony, people are getting saved, and they have places to plug them in for further discipleship and teaching, and not just to evangelize, because you're already equipping them for that side of it, but just like walking with them, like Ivy's a prime example. She was at a place where she begged the pastor for an entire year to disciple her and to pray with her and to walk through this life with her, helping her and counseling her, and couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And that's a church's fault. Like, that is the organizational church failing.
It goes to the body. It goes to the body, because the pastor can't do it all.
The pastor exactly. can't do it all.
But the here's the thing. I think the pastor gets in the way a lot of times, because they think they have to oversee everything and micromanage things so much, and they don't let freedom of expression in the body of Christ. I believe we talked about leaders, and one of the biggest failures, in my opinion, of leaders is that we don't let others fail and mentor.
Yeah.
We think we have to dictate and control the way. Sometimes the learning process is failure, and we have to have freedom to allow leaders to rise up and fail in their positions and be a safety net, like a parent.
Yeah, really. We all have room to grow.
You Amen. Know
what I mean? Yeah. The church is growing.
Hey, yeah. So let me tell you, I'm excited. This is what Mick Smith does on a regular basis, Saturday nights, starting at the porch at
8 p.m.
So come over to the porch right there on Beach Street,
212.
And then come out with him at 10. And you'll see some of this.
So I said, God, I give it to you. I give my life to you. I give my family to you. I give my future to you. I give everything I have to you. And when I do that, when I know that I'm with you and I'm giving it all to you, I have peace. Take the broken pieces and you make them whole. So right now, just fill her up wholly with your love, with your peace, with your joy right now, Father God. Just cleanse her. Just remove the hardship. Make the memory something pure. Make the memory something joyful. Let them remind her of the things that are good, the things that are godly, the good things that are gracious. So just encourage her and empower her in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And that is our time. Thank you so much, Mick, for being a part of this. Guys, go out, see what he's doing. You can go on igniteministryglobal.com and you can find a little more information there. I'm Christina. This is Jesse Amos. We love you guys. Thank you for listening and watching to Can I Get a Witness? And we will see you next week.
Hallelujah. Can I get a witness?